Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, today we're going to have a short lesson on the second day of creation. I call it Second Day, First Heaven. The first day was all about bringing light to planet Earth and then separating it from darkness. The second day events are recorded as, "Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament, or expanse, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament, or expanse, heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day." That's Genesis 1, 6 through 8. One day, one creative act, God created the expanse, a large space between two layers of water, upper and lower. Then he called this expanse heaven, which, along with light, is a key part of God's divine plan. You know, the word heaven in both Hebrew and Greek is interesting in that the word is always plural. So the word for heaven and for heavens is the same. Of course, the sky or heavens have always fascinated us, and there's good reason for that. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." In the very beginning, the heavens are the first of God's physical creation. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also, the earth with all that is in it. That's Deuteronomy 10:14. Notice that God's ownership or sovereignty over the heavens is primary, while the same is declared as a secondary over the earth and all that is in it. I suggest that's because man was intended to rule over the earth, but his sinful disobedience in Eden put his works on it into a form of debt, and consequently, temporarily, under Satan's rule, that is, until Christ paid the debt on Calvary. Isaiah 34:4 says, "All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their host shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, and as fruit falling from a fig tree." And Isaiah 51:6 says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. My salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished." You see, from these and other scriptures, we know that one day God will start over to cleanse the entire cosmos from sin, while those who are saved will remain in God's care. Isaiah 45:18, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, there is no other." Yes, God made the earth to be inhabited, and guess what? He made heaven to be that way too. Jesus said and told us, "In my Father's house," that is, in heaven, "are many mansions," or literally dwellings. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's John 14:2-3. You see, there are three heavens. The first heaven is what we call the sky. that is our atmosphere. The second heaven is what we call the cosmos or universe. The third heaven is what we call heaven, the home of our Lord, and our place of forever home. It's a spiritual place, entirely real though, more real than our physical existence, but truly indescribable. The Apostle Paul, being stoned and left for dead, wrote later about himself, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." That's 2 Corinthians 12, 2-4. The Apostle John, in recording Christ's revelation, had much to say about heaven. Here is my commentary on it. Revelation chapter 21. This is from my book called Fire Eyes. There is just one last item on the Lord's agenda for man's reconciliation. The church age has demonstrated the benefits of grace. The righteous have resurrected or raptured. The tribulation is now over. All evil has been purged from the cosmos, having first been confined to planet Babylon and then cast into the eternal torment of perdition. The old heaven and earth have vanished. And now, he writes, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea." It's a brand new start. The word for new here not only means fresh, but of a new kind. So if you ever gazed over Yosemite Valley and marveled at its beauty, you ain't seen nothing yet. For one thing, there'll be no more sea. Now, this may be literal, but I'm a bit more inclined to believe that the imagery of Revelation remains consistent. And thus, since the sea has represented the Gentile nations, this may mean that there'll be no more unbelievers, no more rebellious or ignorant about God. Now, John goes on, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.'" I find it interesting that for the first time in his vision, John writes, "I, John," as opposed to just "I." By emphasizing the fact that John saw God's kingdom descending, this very well could be referring to the fulfillment of Christ's prophecy, found in all three synoptic gospels, where he said, "There be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." Matthew 16, Mark 9, and Luke 9. And notice how the new, holy new Jerusalem is called the tabernacle of God. As we examine it in more detail, we'll see the pattern of the earthly tabernacle did indeed align with the heavenly. But the most important thing is the amazing pronouncement that God himself will be with them and be their God. With this, we're finally back to Eden, and even better than Eden. For the Lord, it isn't just forgive and forget, but also fellowship forever. Praise God. For more on this, I recommend go to my podcast entitled Heavenly Minded, and you'll get the whole rest of the story here. God bless you.
Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.